Well, I have to welcome everyone tonight. We thank you for being here, both to our members and to our visitors. To our visitors, you are our honored guest. I'd like to invite you back at any chance you may have to come be with us. There are many looks that we get in daily life. As a teacher, there are many looks that my students give me. Some of those are crazy looks. Some of those get some laughter. Some of those are looks of terrifying when they've done something wrong. For men, there's always a look that scares us the most. And that's maybe the look that we get from our wives when we've done something wrong. The look, as it's called, is notorious among males. And there are many different versions of the look. There's this version right here of what you might get from teachers. I certainly give my students this look from time to time, well, many times here lately, to where you know that you've done something wrong, and you know that if you don't stop, here's what's going to happen. The look of our wives, when we've done something wrong, and we know that we pushed it a little too far, better back off, or something bad's going to happen. This might be one of the most terrifying looks that there is, depending on what we've done. For you children, the look of your mother, when you've gone against her wishes, and she's giving you that look of, you know that you pushed it one step too far. And if you go any further, then you know they're going to be taken out. All right, I've seen my mom get that look a lot. Maybe not to myself, but to my brothers. But I know what that look looks like, and it terrified me growing up as a kid to where I did not want to have it. The point is that the look, as it's known, is notorious. You never want to get the look, because that's when you've really done something bad. Heather and I, about three or four times a week, we would watch the show Home Improvement that came on back in the 90s, and there's an entire episode devoted to the look. There's one look in history that we're going to talk about tonight. If you will be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, that we're going to talk about specifically tonight, and that's the look that nobody wants to get, no matter what the situation. Luke chapter 22, to kind of give us a background here, Jesus has been arrested. He is going through the process of appearing before the high priest. He is eventually going to be scourged. This is the night before he is to be crucified. And Jesus' disciples and the apostles are in the city, and they're keeping a low profile because they are wanted as well. And in particular, Peter does not want anybody to know who he is. We're going to pick up in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 56. It says, "And a servant girl, seeing him," talking about Peter, "as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man also was with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." Now before I read the next verse, Peter is going to think back, because just a few hours earlier, Jesus had told Peter, "You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And Peter swore up and down, I will never do that. I will never betray you." Verse 61, "As the rooster crowed, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Says that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine the look that Jesus gave Peter as Peter denies him for the third time? The account that Luke gives here doesn't really tell us how far apart they were. We don't know if they were a couple hundred yards, if they were right next to each other. We just know that Jesus gave Peter a look. And as Peter realizes what he has just done, and Jesus looks at him, imagine the grief and the shame that Peter has felt. Whether it's a look of disappointment, perhaps a look of, "I told you so," whatever it is, a look that none of us want to get, and that is the look from our Lord and Savior that we have messed up, that we have gone against His wishes. And that's going to be the focus of what we talk about tonight. The look that we get from God and from Jesus when we don't obey His commandments. We're going to look at several areas of our life tonight. Look at several ways to where we can either do the right thing or do the wrong thing. And if we do the wrong thing, then we could end up having that look of disappointment from God our Father. First area we're going to talk about tonight is talking about missing services. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. I invite you to open your Bibles. We're going to be looking at several passages tonight. Some of these I'll have on the board. Some of these I'm going to go through pretty quickly. I'll be reading mostly from the New American Standard Bible tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24, says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, we've quoted this passage time and time again, as in, we're not to forsake the assembly. We're supposed to be here at services. We're not supposed to miss worship services. Well, the question is why? Well, this passage tells us that we are here to encourage one another, that we are to stimulate one another in love and good deeds. All right, we are here for a reason tonight. And it's not just because this is the time that the elders have appointed for us to meet, but we are all here for some reason. Today we have met twice, and we have done several things in our worship services. We have sung, we have preached, we have taken the Lord's Supper, we have prayed, we have had Bible class this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So when we are here, we're supposed to put forth every effort that we have to serve God, to sing our praises to God, to do the work to God. And when we're not here, we can't do that. Now, I'm sure that this morning there were a lot of us who thought, man, a couple more hours of sleep sure would be nice. I know I did. I know that there are a lot of those, it's been a beautiful day, warm day. Maybe they went out fishing instead of coming to services. Maybe went out to the river to get on the boat. Maybe just stayed at home and rest and relax and watch football instead of being here at services. We're not here at services, God knows. We're supposed to be here for a reason. We're commanded to be here. And when we're not here, then we're disobeying God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." God knows when we're here and when we're not here. And when we're not here, then you got to think that God is looking down with that look of disappointment of, you should be in church right now. Now, I know that there are some situations to where we can't be at services. All right, if we're sick, some of us have to work on Sundays and Wednesdays. All right, and we hope that the Lord understands that. But there are times to where maybe people don't come to church because they just choose not to. There have been times in my past to where I haven't come to worship services, and I could have. Maybe I was just tired. Maybe I had something else going on. I mean, if you go back years in my life, there are many different reasons as to why I did not come to worship services one time or another. When we make those decisions of choosing something else over God, then you got to be thinking that God is looking down on us with that same look of disappointment. Do we really want that look from God? Do we really want to get that disappointment? We're here at services for a reason. We have to be here. It's one of the commandments given to us, and when we're not, then we disappoint God. Next, we're going to talk about fitting in. One of the biggest challenges of society is fitting in. Whether it's fitting in with coworkers, whether it's fitting in with friends, with family members, many people strive for that acceptance, that respect, for one reason or another. And it's certainly good to be associated with many. All right, we are here on this earth to worship God and to serve God. Part of that is that we are to teach the gospel to others, no matter who they are. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer him." We certainly have to be careful as to who we associate with and who we hang around. All right, young people, I want you to pay attention to this because it's absolutely true. If you're not careful who you hang around, you can fall into the trap. And when we fall into that trap of trying to fit in, and it takes us away from serving God like we're supposed to, then we have sinned. We have gone against God's commandments. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Again, we're supposed to talk to everybody about the Bible. Sinners, believers, non-believers. But when being around those people began to pull us away from God, then that's when we have to put our foot down to make sure that we don't fall into the trap. Satan is all around us. And if we give in to these temptations, then we are no better off than anybody else. And perhaps it's one of the most challenging things for many people in our society. I see it every single day with teenagers, and they're trying to fit in. They're doing whatever it takes to fit in with the people around them. But when that gets in the way of us serving God, then that's where we're heading down the wrong direction. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." It says a living and holy sacrifice which is acceptable to God. We have to always be looking to serve God. Always what is accepting of God. We have to give ourselves as a sacrifice to God, because it says that if we become to this world, then we can end up going down the wrong path. Instead, be that which is good and acceptable and perfect in God. When we don't do that, then we're going against the commandments of God. God is always watching us. And we're going to get more into that here in just a minute, but God is always watching us, whether we are here at services or whether we are in our everyday lives. And when we get to the point of where we give in to one group or the other for one reason or another, that's maybe one of the times that God is watching us most to see which direction we're going to go in. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 probably says it best. "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." When we get to the point of where we are trying to please men and trying to do what is best for those around us instead of what is best for God, then we are no longer a servant of God. We are no longer being a faithful Christian. There's a fine line in talking to non-believers about the Bible and associating with them to the point of where you're trying to convert them, and then them dragging you down the wrong path. Maybe you have coworkers that on Sunday, they want to go to a football game. Or they want to grill out. And you really want to go. You really want to fit in. So you say, "Well, it won't matter if I miss services just this one time. I went this morning. It's okay if I don't go tonight." All right, so we're starting to tie some of this into each other. God is watching us when we make those decisions. And when we make those decisions, you have to think that God is looking down thinking, "You know better." If we're trying to please men and not pleasing God, then it means that we're not being a servant of God. It's more than just being out in public. What about in our private time when nobody is there, nobody is watching, nobody is looking? A lot of people have the mindset of, "Well, nobody's around, nobody's going to have any idea that I did this." Whether it's using bad language, whether it's watching certain movies or TV shows, whether it's looking at pornography, whatever it is, I'm by myself, nobody's going to know. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." There is no escaping from God. No matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, God is always watching us. God is always judging us as to where we're going to end up when we die. And even if we think that nobody is around, nobody's going to know, God will. There's a song that we sing, Hollis leads it a good bit, called "Watching You," talking about an all-seeing eye watching you. "All along on the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you. As you make life's great fight, keep the pathway of right. God will warn not to go in the path of the foe. Fix your mind on the goal, the sweet home of the soul. Never turn from the way to the kingdom of day. Mind the course you pursue, there's an eye watching you." God is always watching us, no matter what. There is nowhere we can go on this earth where we can escape from God. So when you're off by yourself, and you're thinking, "Well, nobody's going to know," God does. Part of Matthew chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And your Father sees what is done in secret." And when you are off by yourself, and this perhaps is maybe the most true test of our faithfulness to God. When nobody else is around, when nobody else can see, what do I do? What actions do I take? What decisions do I make? Perhaps this is our greatest trials. And God is sitting there watching every single time, every single decision that we make. And if we make that decision that is not in accordance to His will, is God giving us the look? Is Jesus looking down in disappointment? You know better, and you're doing it anyway. This is one that affects many that maybe you don't think about. What kind of music do you listen to? Movies do you watch? What kind of TV shows are part of your regular programming? You know, I've talked to a lot of people through the years, and I find that this is one of the areas to where many people just either don't think about or they just don't care about when it comes to being faithful Christian. Psalm chapter 103, verse 3 says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. You know, there are a lot of movies and TV shows out there that are really bad. You know, like trying to watch something good on TV these days, there's not a whole lot out there. Modern day TV shows are filled with all kinds of sin. Homosexuality is pushed down our throats in almost every single new show that comes out. Cussing and sex is just a normal part of TV these days. We got to the point of where we watch old shows, like Andy Griffith. What kind of movies are out there, right? There's not a whole lot of new movies that are wholesome that you can watch and not have to worry about what's being said and done. Do you watch those movies? Do you watch those shows? Do you listen to music that has a bad message, that has a lot of cussing? When it says here that I will set no worthless thing before my eyes, those things don't matter in regards to you getting to heaven. So why watch them? Why listen to it? Because all that it's going to do is go against the will of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Don't dwell on the things that don't matter when it comes to our souls going to heaven. Don't dwell on the things that are not important to God. Rather, dwell on the things that's going to get us one step closer to God. That's going to get us one step closer to heaven. That's going to be following the commandments that are in the Bible. A few years ago, Heather and I were in Blockbuster, and that tells you about how long ago this was. And we ran into a couple that we used to go to church with. And we saw each other, said, hey, how's it going? And we were just kind of browsing around, just kind of see what was out there, which wasn't much. And the guy said, hey, I got a movie that you need to watch, The Lincoln Lawyer. It's awesome. It's got everything in it. And looking back on it, what I should have said was, oh, yeah, I've looked into that. You know, we really don't need to watch that. But instead, we said, oh, okay, yeah, we'll check into it and see what it's about. And we went on, and Heather said, well, we should watch that. And I'd already checked it out in regards to I saw what kind of language was in it. It was rated R, and he was right. It had everything in it. It had language, bad cussing. It had drugs. It had sex. It had everything. This man was a Church of Christ preacher. Walked away thinking, you know, that's really disappointing. That some people know that stuff is wrong and they do it anyway. When we make those decisions, what kind of look is God giving us? What kind of judgment is He passing on us? When we know that it is wrong and yet we do it anyway. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are told to walk in the light. Walk just like God does. Walk just like Jesus did. You know, back when I was a teenager, there were these bracelets that people were wearing. And it had four letters on it, WWJD. And the purpose of that was that when you make tough decisions, and when you're faced with a difficulty, you look down at that and think, what would Jesus do if He were in my shoes? And it's supposed to get you to think about making the right decision. All right, are we walking according to the light of God? Are we walking in accordance to how Jesus did? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says the same thing. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. We have to live like Jesus lived. we're not going to be perfect. He was the only perfect man to ever walk this earth. But if we walk in the shoes of Jesus and we try to strive to be in the light of God, then more times than not, we're going to make the right decision. But again, we're put in these situations and we purposely make the wrong decision. We know better. And it's very easy to do. We've watched TV shows and movies and we're 5 minutes into it, we turn it off. Because there's language or there's something in it that we can tell it's going to be a problem. You know, I've had to make a lot of changes in my life over the last 12 years since coming back to the church and trying to be faithful to God. A lot of things that I don't watch anymore, a lot of music that I don't listen to anymore. You know, I listen to a lot of different types of music. You know, I listen to some country, classic rock, even a little bit of hip-hop, the oldies. I love some hard rock. I love the pounding of the drums, the hard bass lines, the distortion of the guitars. But you know, there are some of those songs that I can't listen to. I have to be very careful as to what I listen to when I'm in the truck. And through the years, there are songs that may have a great beat to it, but when you look at the lyrics, you got to turn it off. And I'm one of the world's worst about, I'll listen to music all day long and I will not pay one bit of attention to the words. There are some songs I've listened to where 2 years later, I go back and look at the lyrics and go, oh, I don't need to listen to that anymore. There are a lot of times where I just have to go research. I hear a song and I go research the lyrics or I research the band. And I realize that, okay, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. Sometimes it's really good music in regards to musicality. But by doing so, I'm going against the will of God. Again, God is watching us at all times when we make those decisions. Last thing we're going to talk about tonight is standing up for Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." How many times have we been put into a position to where we had to make a decision? We know that one decision is what God wants us to do, and the other decision is not. But that other decision may make it a whole lot easier in regards to us fitting in regards to us being accepted by others. When we tie all this in that we talked about tonight, really all this is hand in hand with each other. And it comes down to standing up for what's right. When we let peer pressure get to us and we make the wrong decision, then we're not standing up for Jesus. When we are off by ourselves and we make the wrong decision, then we're not standing up for Jesus. God has given us everything that we need to fight off temptation. Everything that we need to fight for Him. It's up to us as to whether or not we do it. And when we don't do it, once again, God is watching. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Sometimes it's discouraging to be a faithful Christian in today's world. I say today's world, and really things never change. It was hard 2,000 years ago. It's hard today. And sometimes it gets very discouraging when people all around us are constantly going against God, constantly living for the things of the world. Even people who go to church might cuss or might on Sundays do something different than going to worship services. And that can be very discouraging to the point that where maybe we go sometimes, what's the point? Why put in all that work? This passage here tells us that our work is not in vain. If we do what is right, if we keep pushing for the goal, keep doing what God tells us to, then nothing that we do will be in vain. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." The more and more I read this verse, the more I like it. We all know what slavery is. It's one of the most controversial topics in our country today. Going back from 1492 to 1865, slavery inhabited the Americas, and we're still talking about it 200 years later, or 150 years later. When we sin, and when we choose the path that God does not want us to take, then we are like slaves. because we're giving in to Satan. And the more that we give in to Satan, the more that he's putting these chains of bondage on us, and he's holding us down, holding us away from God. But yet, if we go back to the first part of that verse, it says, it was for the freedom that Christ set us free. If we just follow what God tells us to, if we follow Jesus, if we walk in His shoes, if we walk in the light of God, then we will have freedom. And that freedom is the hope of an eternal life in heaven. And there's no greater freedom, no greater reward. Nothing on this earth can ever compare to the greatness of what we can see in heaven. But we have to do what is right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul is talking to Timothy, says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." It says, always abounding in the Lord. I'm in the wrong passage. "This command I entrust to you, Timothy my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith in a good conscience by which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith." Paul is telling Timothy to keep the good fight. Keep fighting the good fight. God has been fighting with Satan since the beginning. That is the war that is never ending. But guess who's going to win? When it comes down to it, guess who's always going to win? God will always prevail. So we have to keep fighting the good fight, even when it's not easy. Even when it makes us very unpopular among others, it makes life very difficult and very awkward for us. We have to do as Paul told Timothy here and fight the good fight. The last part of this says, "which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith." The more and more that we give in to temptation, the more and more that we give in to sin, the more that we are like a shipwreck. We get deeper and deeper and deeper in sin. And before long, we drown in it. So we have to make sure that we fight the good fight, that we take this freedom that God has given us and we make the most out of it so that we can prevail and come out of the waters of sin and stand up for Jesus. Because when we don't, when we become more passive and not standing up, that means that we are not standing up for God. It means that we choose to not stand up for God. If somebody was to come up to our family members, our kids or our wives or husbands, and threatens to attack them, what are we going to do? I know I'm going to do everything in my body to protect my family. I'm going to stand up for them in every way that I can. Why would we not do the same for God? Why would we not do the same for Jesus? Because when we don't, and we just let those opportunities go on by, again, God is looking down upon us, and He is judging us. And the last thing that we want is that look of disappointment. In closing out, I got one more passage I want to read. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5, says, "This is the message that we had heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, then we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." We have to walk in the light just as God is in the light. And when we don't, then you got to think about the look that He's giving us from heaven. Do we want the same look that Jesus gave to Peter? You know, there is two certainties that are happening to us. We're going to die, and we're going to see the judgment. And when we come upon the judgment, and God is going to judge us for the things that we have done on this earth, what kind of look is He going to give you? Is it going to be a look of, "Well done, my child. Welcome to heaven"? Or is it going to be a look of disappointment? a look of, you knew better, and you did it anyway. Imagine the look that Jesus gave to those as he was being crucified on the cross, the ones who sent him to die in that gruesome, gruesome death. What kind of look are we going to get from God? In closing out, I want us to self-reflect on the things that have been talked about tonight. Think back to our lives. That if we were to die tonight, what kind of look would we get from God on the day of the judgment? As you reflect back to that, if the answer is, I don't know what kind of look I'm going to get, I'm not very confident that I'll get a good one, then you need to make a change in your life. Maybe it's one small change. Maybe it's some major changes. Again, God is always watching every single move that we make. If you're not a Christian, then the best way to get that look of approval, that's well done, is to become a Christian. Heard the Word of God. Do you believe it to be true? Do you think that the Bible is the Word of God and that every piece of it is truthful? If so, then come forward. Repent of your sins and you'll be forgiven of those. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to die for our sins. There is no better way to stand up for Jesus than to proclaim to others that, yes, I believe that He is the Son of God, and I will do everything that I can to follow Him. And then at that point, we can take you up to be baptized. You can't go to heaven if you don't do that. The New Testament tells us so. There may be some here tonight that are of age who have not taken that step yet. My question to you is, why not? Every time I get up here, I preach time and time again that we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We're not guaranteed to come back next week or Wednesday night or a month from now. Since the last time I was up here, I have lost 2 students. Addie Baker died about a month and a half ago in a freak ATV accident. She was 14 years old. 5 days away from being in my classroom on the first day of school. First name on my roster. And she never lived to see that day. And then 3 days later, another one of my former students, Maria Holt, died in a car crash. As a matter of fact, that Saturday I went to the funeral home to talk to Addie's family, to talk to Bobby and Peggy, and her parents and her aunts and uncles and her cousins that I had in class. And on the way home, I went by Walmart to get some dog food. And I was on my way to the register and just about ran into a girl. It was Maria. Kind of laughed, said, "Hey, how are you doing?" 4 hours later, she was dead. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, if we're going to be here Wednesday or next Sunday. So if you have not been baptized, if you're not a Christian, if you don't have the things right in your life to make it to heaven, then why are you waiting? Get that right tonight before it's too late. If anything that there has been said tonight applies to you, then we ask that you please come forward as we stand and as we sing the